Gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us on this journey, on the downs as well as the ups. And Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us, God, and that you're pursuing us even sometimes when we're running away from you. And Father, I just ask now that as we prepare to go through this time of worship and the exposition of the word, I pray, O God, that what I have to say is not simply things that mull through my mind. I pray that you will have your way with me, and I pray that you'll have your way with this congregation, each person here, and anybody that may listen to this message online. Of myself, O God, I really have nothing to say. And I'm fully aware of it, and I'm not worthy, O God, to even stand and present your word. But I come before you and before this congregation in Jesus' name, and through his worth, and through his power, and his presence. And I thank you, God, for being here. There may be things said today that will be hard to take, but God, I pray that if anyone might be offended, that they will deal with the offense in a way that's leads to a greater and more close walk with you, that it will be salvific and not destructive. And I thank you, O God, for this. In Christ's name, amen. Here's how someone expressed a certain viewpoint, and I think it fits very well in the times in which we live. And some of you will recognize this, some of you won't. It's written by a songwriter and a poet. And the title of it is Everybody Knows. Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. And then it goes on. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor. The rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this broken feeling like their father or their dog just died. Everybody's talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. And then it goes, everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. Everybody knows. Now, if you don't know the songwriter, it's Leonard Cohen, who's now deceased, of course. And listen to this one. Same author. It's called The Future. And see if this doesn't fit potentially or probably quite well with what's about to occur. Things are going to slide in all directions. Won't be nothing we can measure anymore. The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold and it's overturned the order of the soul. Isn't that beautiful? The blizzard of the world has crossed the threshold and it's overturned the order of the soul. And then he writes, your servant here, he has been told to say it clear, to say it cold. It's over. It ain't going any further. And now the wheels of heaven stop. You feel the devil's riding crop. Get ready for the future. And then he says, it is murder. And then the chorus goes, which I haven't written down, When they said, repent, repent, and he's referring to the Old Testament prophets in particular, when they said, repent, repent, I wonder what they meant. It's absolutely profound. Not that I agree with everything Leonard Cohen wrote, but some of this captures and gives a picture. Things are going to slide. I don't know how you've been feeling in the last few months. I don't think you had to listen very long or even be honest with yourself. And it feels that things are out of whack, doesn't it? This pandemic has thrown a monkey wrench into just about everything, every aspect of life. It is the economy, social, people's well-being, everything that you can name, travel. It just goes on and on and on. And you know what's occurring? How many of you are familiar with the word paradigm? If you're not familiar with the word paradigm, a paradigm is simply a way of thinking, the way that we see the world. And those who deal with these matters philosophically refer to a paradigm shift. And there's a paradigm shift occurring. And we've had paradigm shifts before, just to help you understand it. There was a time, probably prior to World War I, when people had a really bright idea, or they saw the future as looking pretty much unstoppable. Mankind could do anything. Many philosophers were proclaiming that there'd be a utopia. Everything would go a certain way. And then there was World War I, and they said that it was the war to end all wars. 21 years later, of course, World War II started in 1939, and then after that, the whole idea of finding a society in the Western world that would be utopian came crashing down. And people thought very differently about things and about the world. Now, this what I read here from Cohen didn't sound very uplifting, did it? It's a bit grim. Now I'm going to read, if you think that this is grim, I'm going to read two or three passages of Scripture. I got to give you the grim stuff first. So let's go, we're going to look at the Old Testament prophets, one New Testament prophet, and Jesus' words himself. And we're going to go from there because these are amazing times in which we live. And these times that we live in, I believe our times are ushering in the kingdom of God. Physically, the kingdom of God is just around the corner. That is my firm conviction. Your conviction may be different, but that's my firm conviction. Turn to Isaiah 34 for the first passage. We'll look at Isaiah, a little bit from Ezekiel, something again from Joel. I'll read the one that Steve read earlier. Isaiah 34, 1-4. The language is graphic because it's dealing with really serious matters. All of them are in the context of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord in Scripture, of course, is the return of Christ. Isaiah 34, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury, the Lord is furious? Well, I have to read what's here, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. Boy, I tell you, this is heavy stuff here. And verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. We've heard that before, haven't we? And all their hosts shall fall down. Are you ready for this? And that's a good answer. Are we ready for what this is describing? As the leaf falls off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Oh boy. You know, I'm almost afraid to read the prophets sometimes, aren't you? But at the same time, I love it, because if we don't heed the prophets, well, we may find ourselves in serious trouble. The prophets give their messages for a reason. And sometimes the language is graphic for good reason, because God wants people to wake up and take notice. Because there are still, even in the times in which we live, there are still too many people snoozing, sleeping. People are still too much in slumber. Ezekiel 7. Look at some of these verses, the language. Ezekiel 7, 5-7. Thus says the Lord God, and I know all the prophets write a little bit about their own time, but they're also taking it down to the end of time. And it all merges together, and it's really powerful the way they write, I think. Thus says the Lord God, an evil, an only evil, behold, is come. An end is come, the end is come. It watches for you, behold, it is come. And verse 10, behold the day, behold, it is come. The morning is gone forth, the rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded. That's interesting words. Verse 12, the time is come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn. Verse 25, destruction comes, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Isn't that a good line? Rumor shall be upon rumor in these our times. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest and counsel from the ancients. This is really, really gripping stuff. I'm not going to get you to turn to Daniel chapter 11, but Daniel 11 verses 40 to 45 talks about the rage of the king of the north going against the king of the south, and there's a major conflict, and the king of the north defeats the king of the south, and then the king of the north suddenly comes to his end. And you might wonder why I brought that up, because I'm wondering how many of you know what's really going on in Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 to 45. And there's a reason I'm asking that, because I'm going to challenge you later about some of this stuff, because there's something going on. Joel chapter 2, I really like the book of Joel. Joel has a lot to say about not only his day, but he, of course, again, he combines it with the time of the end. Joel 2, verse 10. The earth shall quake before, and here is talking about the Lord's army. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Oh, interesting picture. Another graphic picture. Verse 30, same chapter. And I will show wonders. This is in the time of the end. The context is clearly the time of the end. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. as we're coming into the day of the Lord. And chapter 3, which was read earlier, I won't read, I'll just read 14 to 16. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Do you think people are making big decisions these days? Well, people are always making decisions. But people are being pressed, and decisions are being made for good or ill. We are making decisions every single day. And it's based on everything that's around us, and the things we're observing, the things we're hearing, the things we're seeing, and we're constantly making little, smaller decisions, which leads up to a bigger decision. Which way are we going? The sun and the moon shall be darkened again, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. I love verse 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. The Lord is roaring out of Zion? Yes, because he's coming as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the divine warrior. It's amazing language. He's roaring out of Zion. And of course, in prophecy, at the time of the end, Zion and Jerusalem are only symbols for the people of God. He is in their midst. Something big is going on, and he's standing up and fighting for them. It's beautiful. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. You know, I think we need a shaking, don't you? We need to be, you know, stirred up a bit. It's so easy to just go along from day to day, and you're doing your thing, and you're earning an income or whatever it is that we're doing. And we get so caught up in it, and then I don't know, things sort of come at us. You know, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I'm going to admit it anyway, so you know that I'm not that much different from you. When this pandemic started, for the first little bit, I was convinced I either had the virus or I was going to get it. I was sure of it. You know, one day I thought I was gone. And I'm ashamed to tell you, I feel really, really uneasy. I feel afraid, as if there was no God. It was amazing. And I had to do, I'm serious, I used to go for 2 or 3 or 4 nights. I remember perfectly. I go to bed and I could not get to sleep. And that's very strange for me, because usually I'm asleep almost as soon as I hit the pillow. And I found that I could feel the fear going through me, because I was spending too much time listening to the media. Oh, don't get me going on the media. Anyway, I found that I had to pray earnestly. And you know what? Oh, you know the beauty of it all? The Lord came into the room and came into my heart and dispelled the panic. And I could sleep in ease. What a wonderful thing that was. I was at rest. And you know what? I have not felt 1 ounce of panic since. And I give God the credit. Because, who am I? I try to be careful. But sometimes you can be as careful as you want. Things can happen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. Guys, I got to confess, as scary as this book makes some people, I actually love the book of Revelation. It is loaded with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing what's in this book. And most people are afraid to even look at it because, one, they look at it and it's so complicated that they, oh my, I can't deal with this. And many people are too indolent to try to figure it out. Indolent means lazy, by the way. Because if you're going to study the deep things of God's word, it's going to take time. And it's going to take effort. And it's much easier, I can't say what is easier to do, because there's so many things that are easier to do. And we're losing out, folks. I'm going to say more about that later. Revelation 6, 12 to 17. This is the sixth, of course, seal. And of course, when all the sixes and sevens in the sevens in Revelation, the sixth one always leads up, and the seventh one is right at the time of Christ's return, and the sixth one leads right up to it. Here we go. 12 to 17. And I beheld, says John, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Excuse me, you notice the sun, moon again? And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Here's the fig tree again. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed, as a scroll. Almost everything in Revelation, by the way, is from the Old Testament. Almost every verse is taken from the Old Testament. And every mountain and island, were moved out of their places. Are you ready for this? And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains. Oh, yes. The presidents and all the president's men and all the generals. When this happens, they're not going to be flapping their jaws. Seriously, they're not going to have a word to say. It's going to be silenced. And the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Obviously, the people doing this are not God's people. Why would God's people hide away from them? And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And of course, chapter 7 answers that question, who shall be able to stand? Now let's go to what Jesus had to say. This is so familiar, and this is what sometimes troubles me, because we read stuff and we hear stuff that we've read and heard so many times before, and we lose the impact. How many times have I heard this in the last few decades? Mark 13, I'm sure you all know the chapter, and you all know that Mark 13 talks about the signs of Jesus' return. Or you should. And you should know every chapter that talks about the signs of Jesus' return, especially now. And it's amazing how Jesus said stuff. I know how comprehensive his brief little comments really are. And, well, no surprise there. 24 to 26 is all I will read. But in those days, and this is getting down toward the end again, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall and the powers. Oh, I love this one. Try asking people this sometime and see what kind of answers you get. And the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And some verses say the powers of heaven shall be driven from their course. Try throwing that out sometime and see what people think that means. It's very interesting. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. See, all of this happens and then he's here. He's here. How many of you really want the Lord to come? Do we really want him to come? And I hope you're meaning what you're saying, because sometimes I wonder if Christians really want him to come. And you know what? I've often said myself, boy, I can't wait for the Lord to return. And my life betrayed everything I was saying. I wasn't living like someone who really wanted the Lord to come. But now, I don't really care, no, Steve. If I can't drive the Dodge Ram anymore, whoop-de-doo. I can fly. I'm a bit crazy anyway. I just got this way about me. I can't wait to get a set of wings. And, oh my, God help us, that we don't get so wrapped up in anything here. There's nothing here that compares. Everything, yes, many things are important, but to compare it with what lies ahead, oh my. No, you can't. You're not even in the same ball field. It's amazing to me. And we get so wrapped up in everything. The last text, Luke 21, 25 to 27. These guys repeated it. And it sounds similar, but they had little things sometimes. Notice what Luke says. All the same time period. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations. Whoa! Upon the earth, distress of nations. Well, we ain't seen nothing yet. Things are going to slide, and they're going to slide in all directions. If you think this pandemic is bad, and we have to take it as it reads, the inspired writings are very, very clear. It's going to get really bad before it gets good. And I have to ask myself, I have to ask you, are we ready? Are we awake? Are we ready for when things really let go? There'll be calamity after calamity. There'll be things that have come upon us. And you know, there's one statement I've read about, I think it's from Great Controversy. Whenever the coming of Jesus is, that coming will be an overwhelming surprise. And for everyone except those who are filled with his presence, in whom his spirit dwells. An overwhelming surprise. Just like the flood. That's why the flood is used as an example. Because they were going about their daily business, and even though there will be things to deal with, people still won't realize till it's too late that this is over. It's not going any further. Are we ready for this? You know, it's interesting when you think about what could occur. And we have to be careful with speculation, don't we? And if I'm speculating, which I'm going to do now for a couple of minutes, so don't go out of here and say, that Hillier fellow, he said that, I'll tell you in a minute. The powers in heaven will be shaken. This universe is very ordered, as we know. Who keeps it in order? The one who made it. Everything has a certain way of being, and it operates a certain way. What if that gets thrown out of kilter just a little? What could occur? Just picture this for a minute. We're in a pandemic. Let's say something screams down through space and explodes over London. And London is completely flattened. How do you think people are going to feel? What kind of fear do you think would ripple not only through England and Europe, around the world? People were wiped out in a matter of seconds. And people say, well, that sounds awful weird to me. And people forget that these things, similar things have occurred. They've occurred on this earth and not a long time ago. One blew up, these meteorites or whatever they want to call them, or asteroids are out there zipping through. And, you know, just in the last 2 months, two asteroids have passed between the moon and the earth. And they had no idea they were coming till just before they were in. Because apparently scientists say that they can't see them coming out of the sun. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But I was just studying about it. But I did hear it on the news. I don't know if you heard it or not. It was on the news about the one that came quite close. I don't know. In September, wasn't it? Just imagine if one of them comes a little bit more and plunges into the earth. What kind of mess are we going to have? And some of them are massive in size. Back in the early 1900s, just over 100 years ago, it was either 1920s, I don't have the exact date, but I know it was in the early 1900s, one exploded over a remote section of Siberia. It didn't even hit the ground, and it flattened 10,000 square miles of trees like they were toothpicks. So it's not far-fetched to think that something couldn't explode over a city. It just so happened that this one exploded in eastern Siberia where there was no one. So what could occur? What unlooked-for calamity could come upon this earth and really cause people to you know what? Everything is going to happen. When you have things like this occurring, you'll have responses from the human race that have run the whole gamut. You'll have people who will deny things as they're happening or come up with other explanations. You'll have people who will disregard everything. You'll have people who will panic about the least little thing. Everything and everything in between. That's absolutely amazing. Character is revealed when? In a crisis. You see how people behave when things get heated. It's amazing to me the reactions I've seen even from this pandemic. And you look at stuff. If there's something that's unlooked for, something that challenges us, an existential threat, something that challenges my very life, what am I going to do? How am I going to behave? Because behave, I will. I have to react. And we will all have to react when things get going. And you know, see, I did it. I just put them on upside down. And, you know, when you read these passages, it sounds simple. It wasn't overly complicated, was it? Jesus talking about stuff, you know, the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. And the sun and the moon and stars did something a while back as signs. But that's not the full fulfillment of what's going to happen in the heavens when you read about the great day of the Lord. This is going to be massive events. And I wonder to myself, am I really, really ready? Am I awake? It seems simple in a lot of ways. I've heard this for decades. But is it really simple? And I have to conclude, in some cases or in many cases, no. Because there's so many things that go on. And it's not simple, even though the scriptures are pretty clear, and even though they're hard to read in some ways because they're not for the faint-hearted, are they? They're not for the faint-hearted. If you're faint-hearted, well, I think you're going to have to get, was it, we read there earlier, let the weak say, I am strong. Strong in who? Strong in the Lord. And maybe it has to do with us. I think we've complicated matters. We do sometimes. And we got a lot of things going on in ourselves. We're perplexed. Things are complicated. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to turn. And our sources of information. Have you noticed anything lately? Oh, gosh, I got to mention this because it's There's a lot of experts out there. Have you noticed that? There's experts for everything now. And they're interviewing them. And we all listen to our favorite expert. Or, even worse, because we can find it online, we think we're experts. Isn't that incredible? We're the experts. Do you realize that we're at a time now where you can barely tell anybody anything? Because they can check it online, and if it's online, it must be directly from the throne room of God. What's happened to us? It's unbelievable. All the sources, what are our sources? And that's why I read these passages, because this book is being neglected for, oh my, I neglected this book myself. It's only recently I've gotten back into the book because someone challenged me, what in the world are you going on about all the time? And why are you quoting this one and quoting that one, but you're not quoting the Word of God? How much time are we spending in the book? And I'm not talking about just a little flippant reading. How much study are we really doing? And then I want you to be bold enough to compare the amount of... I've had to do this lately, and I've been horrified. Because I found out that the amount of time I spend in the Word compared to the amount of time I spent on my phone, looking at various things or at the television, and the amount of, and I compared it, I had to go and repent. I actually had to repent because I'm getting all these sources of information and I'm neglecting the Word of God. I'm not saying we should be we should have information, but we better keep it in balance and we better get deep into the Word of God. Deep. It has to intensify. The more things intensify around me, the more I have to be into the Word of God. Oh my, the experts. I got bad news for you. There are no experts. There are no human experts who can read everything in the times in which we live. There is one expert about this, and that's God Himself. And I need to be getting my information from Him. And we got to take this seriously. That's why I ask, are we awake? Awake? You feel like almost getting out now, crying out, awake, awake. And other than the fact they probably shipped me off to an asylum, I'd probably be feeling getting out doing it. How are we spending our time? Are we settled? Guys, we got to make up our minds. We got to be settled. We have to be settled into the things of God, His Word, His truth. Do we have it settled? This is the way it is. God, as you know, I'm not talking about everything because we're always learning and always growing. But some things should be settled, shouldn't they? You know, I think of one. This deals with, we mentioned this a little bit earlier. We talk about righteousness. We got to get it settled that the only righteousness that counts is Christ's righteousness and stop playing games. We got to stop playing games. Do you know that my most righteous act is still filthy rags? I cannot produce righteousness. Righteousness comes from Him and Him alone. If I abide in Christ, isn't this beautiful? If I abide in Christ and Christ is in me, guess what my life will be? A righteous life. We had to abide in him. We got to get it settled. Because we're still playing these, I don't know what we're doing sometimes. And don't, oh my, I used to waste my time trying to impress God. Can you imagine? Trying to impress God. You might impress a few people because people are not that bright. They don't know a lot of stuff because you can see stuff in people and you think you know them. Oh, you know them. So who knows me? I don't even know myself. It's unbelievable. It sounds funny, but is it not true? Who really knows us? God knows me. He knows everything about me. He knows why I'm doing things. So why would I waste my time trying to impress him? He already knows. And he loves me as much as a loving God can. We got to get this settled. This is God's book. That's his word. We have to settle that. It's as simple as that. The Lord made the world and everything in it. Don't try to marry it to everything else out there. God spoke and it was done. How plain can we get? Now, yes, heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. And I'm looking forward to going. Because I want to be with the God of heaven. And you know, here's the good part. Heaven starts here. One definition of heaven is a ceaseless approaching unto God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? But it's still a real place. We got to get it settled, folks. We got to wake. We have to awake. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's... There's many challenges. People are, like Debbie was mentioning earlier, people are losing their incomes. If we have things, we should be thankful for the blessings we have. But this world is... It's a very strange place. And we're going to see very strange developments. But I pray with all my heart and soul that we're not careless on the one hand, we're not gone fanatical on the other hand, that we take a balanced road, that we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, and I think we'll be safe. And don't lose a compassion for others, because there's many things still in these times that we can do. And I pray for every one of you, every person here, I pray that we will meet, because, you know, sometimes I sound like I'm saying this, I'm going to never be back here again. I don't know if I'll be back here again. I might not get on tomorrow. We live one day at a time. That's all we can do. And I don't know what's going to happen soon, but I do believe that as a weak man, I can say I am strong in Christ. And that's the bottom line. And many times, still, the Lord reminds me day by day, because sometimes I still get this, you know, this weirdness comes over me, and I lose my focus, and I get troubled. You find that? You get troubled. And he says it again, be still. Say to your soul, be still, my soul, and know, right? And know that he is God. May we be still indeed. Often in your presence, always in your presence. And we shall meet at last. What a beautiful, beautiful promise that will be realized soon. And Lord, I pray that all of us will be there. And I pray your blessing on each one. And I pray, O God, that we will give you our first, last, and best in everything. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.